Welcome to episode 4 of EDDS.
Off with Bear's character Reed going into an Oblivion Gate by himself. Reed, are you still planning on doing that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Still planning on going in and looking.
Okay. What before you do that, what are the other two doing? Felvindar and Gris, what are you guys doing?
I think last time my character spoke with some mages and then just basically waited for everyone to get ready.
And Gris was sitting on a bench contemplating the end of his life very shortly. And then he started praying to Arke.
All right. So you guys have no idea that Reed is going to do this.
I thought you said something over the rings. Yes, I did Felvindar. Say to Felvindar, Gris took off the ring.
Because you two were bickering and arguing, so I took the ring off. I needed peace and quiet.
Yeah.
All right.
So Felvindar has a suspicion, or like he suspected, but maybe don't know that I'm going in.
So, well, you hinted at it.
I think you can connect the dots. This is going to come down to DM's prerogative. Which would you like to do first? Would you like to send him into the pool, or would you like to deal with us two first? I kind of want you to as well.
Kind of. I kind of want to start there. So you get up to the gate, and the first thing it's probably almost as tall as the palace in the Imperial City. And you're looking at this giant opening, and it's like, you can't see past the gate because when you look between the giant stone archways, there's this red aura of like, it looks like, the only way I can describe it is water and then like waves on water. So that's kind of what it looks like. But beyond that, you see the realm, or a realm of Oblivion. And you hold your breath and you take a step through. And when you get through, you are instantly hit with a wave of heat. And in front of you, you can see off into like about 60 feet off to your left, there's a pool of lava with a waterfall of lava that's splashing down into it. And then a river that goes off for as far as you can see. It's very rocky, cliffy. The ground that you step on is a hard dirt substance that is like this dark red. There are trees around, but they're all dead and withering. You're kind of like up along a cliffside as you walk through the gate. You can see like down, like off to your right, there's a cliff and it hangs down about 40, 50 feet. There's big boulders around you. What do you want to do?
Well, since I still have the ring on, I would try to contact Misala since I stepped through the gate. To see if she's even close. So
when you try to make contact, you feel the rings connect, but she doesn't answer you. So maybe you think, let's just make it a perception roll.
That's a 5. Perfect.
Yeah, you don't know if, like, is she already dead? Is she knocked out? But you do feel the rings, like, make the connection.
Well, thing is there any kind of, like, what's the best way to go about this, like going from the portal to the
From the portal, the tower looks miles away. Like, well, this is like, you this... can tell that it's gonna take you a while to get to this black tower that's standing off into the distance. And again, this tower is like not necessarily a circular shape, but it looks like a square with angles instead of coming to points and edges. And then as it comes up, it splits off. One goes off to the right, one goes off to the left. You can see through the tower. And then there's this big, long archway that connects the right side and the left side. And then in the middle of that archway is another tower that goes up to, then that's like the highest part of the tower.
Okay. And there's like nowhere to hide while going on this path up there.
Not, you can't see the full path. You see a path that goes in that direction, but it's like you see this big forest of dead trees. There's like a section you're going to have to go through that. There is a pathway, but it's, the tower is far away.
So there is some kind of chance of being hidden while going there.
Sort of. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like the whole way there, it looks like it's kind of, from where you're at, it kind of dips down into a valley, this big, big valley. And there's like, off into the distance, there's a huge mountain range to your left and to the right.
Okay.
And in this valley, this big valley, is just this giant forest of dead trees. And then it kind of starts to incline again. And then as it inclines, starts to walk up, you see cliff sides. You see, you know, all these different levels of the environment, and then towards kind of like the peak of this hill that you can see, that's almost level with where you're at, is this giant black tower.
Okay. And there's nobody around that I can see, right?
Nobody around that you can see. And you're at a high point of this area.
Well, I will.
And if you like look back behind you through the portal, you see the Imperial City.
Okay. So that's good.
Yeah.
I'll just hang out here for like 5 minutes. If nothing like comes around, like I'll obviously try to hide over at the rock on the right side when coming through the portal. And just wait for 5 minutes. If nothing comes, I'll go through the portal again.
What is your passive perception?
13.
Okay. Yeah. So you'd not see the best, this. But... Well, you would hear this actually. You wouldn't see it. You can hear drums off in the distance coming your way. Like battle drums, you would. I mean, you've heard this before. It's definitely like a battle drum.
So it's definitely coming from. Yeah. So
you might think, oh, it's probably another wave that's coming.
I'll go back out.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of step back up to the portal. You hold your breath and you step through, and you're back out into the Imperial City.
I'll start waving my hands like to see it. Like somebody had to see me go in.
I mean, like all the guards, like, well, you said you were invisible, I thought.
Well, from last session. Of course, but going somebody had to see me go out then when I'm not invisible.
If you took your invisibility off, then somebody saw you come out, and you there's like guards, like I said, up on all of these rooftops that kind of surround this gate. They're just kind of like isn't he with us? Like, didn't he just? Did he go in? Did he come out? Like, nobody really saw if he like went in or went out.
I'm just gonna start yelling, "Wave coming!"
Then you see like a moment of hesitation of all like the guards up on the roofs with like their crossbows and stuff, but then they all get ready.
I'll step into the shadows next to the portal again and ready my crossbow.
Okay.
Or my shotgun, I mean, not crossbow. I don't have a crossbow.
All right. We're going
to... And then I'm going to quickly tell over the ring to Filbandar that another wave is coming. Get ready.
Okay. So if I remember correctly from last time, you guys said the plan was you were going to all move in as a wave comes in?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we weren't going to wait the 4 hours where the other guys were dealing with the wave. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a bit about... 3, you guys could choose to sit this fight out or help the guards.
Might as well help them when I'm there.
I think we agreed on the plan to help the resistance assault the gate, that they get us to the gate and then we enter after we've defeated the wave together.
Yep, that was the plan.
Gris, what have you been doing when Reed was in the Oblivion Gate?
Well, originally, I was sat on a bench, praying to Arcane, just going over previous things in my head and obviously trying to figure out what we had just... We was just in a fight, like, the same day previous. Yeah. Trying to figure out what, like, the enemy is, kind of things. Trying to go over tactics in my head on how to deal with that kind of thing. As in, there's some with wings, you'd shoot them with arrows, but we don't have crossbows. We've only got Reed with his short bow.
Give me a history check.
A history?
And this is for you thinking over the battle that you guys just had.
That'd be a 10.
Yeah, with the 10, you remember fighting them, and you can't just due to the intensity of the battle and how focused you were, you weren't really focusing on reading how they were attacking. So
yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, obviously anything that fly in, bring it to the ground kind of deal. It's general battle tactics kind of thing. And then seeing that, looking up and seeing there's a little bit of commotion going around, as obviously Reed's come out of the pool and he shouted there's a wave coming. And word would have got back over the rooftops, back to the way where everyone else is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing would I see some like commotion, maybe grabbing arrows, getting ready to go to the front lines?
Yeah, what kind of wakes you up, or doesn't wake you up, but kind of gets your head like on a swivel, is like a group of five guards kind of jog past you up towards the front line. And you overhear one of them saying, I think a wave is coming.
Yeah, then I would stand up, tie my straps on my chest, tighten the straps around my arm for my shield, and jog forward behind them, about 10, 15 feet behind the group, keeping pace with them, but
yeah,
following them to the front line. And I would slip on my ring, telepathy, and basically shout to the guys, anyone that has the rings on, I would say, what's going on, guys?
I see it happening.
There's a wave already?
Yeah, coming through.
Oh, let's get ready. Let's get going now.
Yeah, I'm following some guards up to the front lines now. I'll meet all both of you there. I'm already there. I'm at the gate.
Wait, what, the wave's happened already?
No, it's coming.
You're at the gate?
Yes.
Why?
Because I alert the guards that the waves is happening.
But why are you at the gate?
Let's ask that later. I think we need to go there immediately.
The I'm going to slap you on.
And Phil and Dar will follow Gris with the guards.
Okay. Yeah, once you guys get up to the gate, you see that there are mages that are standing behind guards that are like getting spells ready to just cast at the gate, kind of like in a bombardment. So maybe that might be a good spot for you to get in.
Yeah, I Felton, go right next to them.
Stand up next to them. Yeah, there's like 15 of them, like in a line, that are all just, they all wearing different colored robes. They all come from a different school of magic, and they're all getting some of their most damaging spells prepared and ready. You can see them starting to do like cantrics. You see there, you walk up next to the girl that you like are standing next to, and she like throws out a scroll and it like unravels itself and then like floats in midair in front of her. And she starts reading from it and doing like hand gestures and like this, magical like runes kind of start to appear around her feet, and you can tell she's getting ready. And then of course, Gris, maybe you might want to get up on the front line with the rest of the guards. There is a wall of spears and then a wall of guys with like sword and shield.
Yep. So I would see this. Can I have a count of how many there are? Rough
numbers? I mean, there's
just rough numbers.
Okay. There's probably 50 in total.
Oh, okay. So, is the captain of the guard nearby?
He is. Yeah, he's like coming. He's like walking up from your left.
Okay. I'd like to basically.
He's checking his lines.
I'd like to step forward and basically walk, like jog over to him. Captain.
Yes.
So, I know I have no place to say this. They're your men, and this is your fight for the Imperial City. You're doing us a favor. Due to experiences in the past, can we do shields, taking a knee, and then with the spikes over the top of them? So you have that barrier, and then you have the reach from the pikes.
Yeah, but that makes no sense for the guys with the shields and swords, because then they would be at a disadvantage being on one knee.
Well, yeah, but you've got the spikes there that are going to do the initial hit, and then they can leap forward with the shields.
Why don't you just, he like puts a hand on your shoulder, leave the commanding to me, young
okay,
soldier.
Just a suggestion. And I turn
and
around.
He keeps walking down his line.
And I walk the other way from him and take my position at the end of the line, basically ready with my shield in front of me. Can I preemptively do a dodge action?
Not yet. We'll see what happens. You all start to hear the battle drums start to come through the gate. And as you've seen before, these little creatures that stand about 4 foot tall come out with these long arms and claws and beady eyes and sharp teeth. And then the flying ones that look very similar to that. And then followed by them are some Dremora, the full plated black metal armor, dark skin, cracked skin looking, black eyed Daedra, and then one in black robes with no armor and a staff. And you also see 2 flame astronauts come as well this time. And let's just go ahead and get everybody to roll initiative.
They're definitely on our side, flame astronauts, right?
Not this time, I'm afraid.
They're definitely on our side. Okay.
So, Reed, you're going to get to go first.
Well, since I know the guy in the robes were dangerous last time, I'll shoot him to start off with.
Okay. With advantage, because you're hidden.
24.
Okay. Yeah, 24 hits.
And with sneak attack, so that's 5 plus 8.
All right. You send off an arrow, and it sticks him right in the shoulder, and then he fucking looks up in the direction of where it came from. Yeah, I was just going to ask. So roll a stealth.
Ooh, that's an 8 plus 6.
So that's 15.
Why do you add that up?
Because I'm in the shadows.
Let me see what his perception
my ring
is.
Plus
you rolled roll an 8 and a 6.
Well, 8 plus the 6 for the ring.
Yeah.
Well, he rolled a 19, definitely saw you.
I see.
Do you want to use your movement action at all?
Probably you would.
Where would I move?
You're not in the best position.
I'll start crawling up the goddamn fucking gate.
Yeah, you can't. They're not on the map, but there are buildings behind you. Because remember, you guys are in the market district.
I'll start crawling up the gate.
The gate?
Yeah,
okay.
As far as I can get up the gate.
Make me a climb check. It's
30 feet. Acrobatics or athletics?
Athletics, because it's a climb.
That's a 20.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, you make it about a quarter of the way up it, which is still 50 feet.
Okay.
Or however your fall your climb speed is.
I can climb 30 feet.
Okay, so you make it 30 feet up the tower. All right. Next are the guards, and the ones up front aren't going to do anything, but the spellcasters are all going to send a volley of spells.
Yes, indeed.
Out of the 15 spells that are launched, only about half of them hit. And there you see every sort of, you see frost, you see nobody's using fire. Nobody's using any kind of fire spells. So it's frost spells, it's lightning spells, that kind of stuff. And they do. You see one of the flying creatures fall. It gets hit with this lightning bolt just square in its chest. And it leaves just this gaping hole as it falls to the ground. And this one here is dead. The volley of spells that came kind of hit these 4 up front. So There is a flame astronaut, a flying imp, a scamp, and another flying imp that all got hit with the volley of spells. And now it is Gris's turn. What are you going to do? You're standing behind a palisade right now, up on the front line.
Yeah. I'm going to hold my turn. Wait.
Okay. Do you want to take an act? Like you said, you wanted to do something like a dodge. Okay.
Yeah.
That means any creature that's going to attack you on its next turn is going to take disadvantage to hit you, which it would anyways, because there's the line of men to get to where you're at. And if you want to swap with one of the guys so you can actually attack, they are willing creatures, so they will trade places with you. All you have to do is say, hey, I'm going to swap with this guy. If so, and that doesn't take actions or anything, that's just movement speed. Okay. Yeah.
So am I okay to swap with this dude?
Yep. Let me move him out of the way for you. So you tap the one of the spear guys that's right in front of you on his shoulder. You kind of say, hey, let me get up front in front. He gives you a nod and then moves back and like positions his spear right over your right shoulder. So in case he needs to get in there with his spear, he's got reach.
Between the two palisades on the front line.
Yes.
I'm guessing there's a gap. There's me. Is how many of you are to my left?
Yeah, just for sake of things, this doesn't exactly represent how many people are on the field.
I'm just wondering.
There's probably about 30 men to your right and about another 26, 27 off to your left. So you're like practically right in the middle.
Well,
I kind of imagined where Garrus wanted to be.
I'm going to hold. Obviously, I'm going to do the dodge action.
Mm-hmm.
But that also comes with a reaction. I'm going to tell you this now, so obviously
when
the next attack comes, there's a reaction. So the man to the left of me, the guy to the right of me, and the guy behind me, I have my reaction for my shield, so they don't take damage. I think that's how it works, right, Shieldmaster?
I thought that was a disadvantage on attack rolls.
Yeah, I think so.
Does that do disadvantage? Does it?
Yeah, it does. So
it would be a bit overpowered if they just don't take damage.
Everybody practically within a 5-foot range of you.
I've got disadvantage.
Gets disadvantage. Yeah. So, okay. Perfect. All right. That's a good move. All right, Phil Vindar, what do you want to do?
Artillery coming in.
okay.
I would like to summon a chain lightning on that enemy spellcaster.
Okay.
D100. Yes.
35. Ooh. Made it by 5%.
Yeah.
Almost failed, but it doesn't.
You're really good at rolling low on a D100, just saying.
Yeah.
now go ahead and roll for your attack.
Oh, wait a second. 2D10, was it? 18.
Don't you need to make a ranged attack with that? I'm fairly positive. Shoot a concentrated lightning bolt from the caster's hand.
Sure, Nesala.
It's 60 feet, so.
I always rolled it for Nesala, so.
And what was the, so that would be a D20 plus intelligence modifier?
Yeah, whatever you use to cast spells.
Spell attack.
Which all I imagine is intelligence.
14 plus.
14 is gonna hit. Yeah, that's hitting.
Yeah, 14 plus 4, 18. That would be an 18. Yes.
Yeah, sweet. So you conjure up this lightning bolt and like angle it up in the air and shoot it off up into the sky, and it just arcs perfectly and comes straight down on top of the Dremora that's wearing the black robes and causing some significant damage.
To the spellcaster and the other two Dremora standing next to him.
Oh, yes, that's
right. The chain lightning and... They are also affected.
Yes, they are. The two Dremora that are in full plate standing in front of this also take the same effect and damage.
They have a plate armor.
Yes, it's the...
By the description, obvious. That would mean they take another D6.
Yep.
Okay, so roll another D6.
Ooh.
Five more.
So they take another 5 damage, yeah. All right.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. That will be very useful.
That's my turn.
Rolled an 8 on a D10 and a D10 on a D10.
Yeah.
And a 5 on a D6.
You almost rolled max damage for all your dice. All right. Very good turn. We are moving on to the enemies. This flame etronaut, first off, the mage is going to yell out in a language that you don't understand to the flame etronaut to shoot at you, Reed. So it's going to fly over or like float over to where it can get good range on you and try to shoot you with two firebolts coming at you. First one's a two. Does a 16 hit?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead as what? No, you're climbing right now.
Yeah, it's not a deck save.
I didn't give them advantage. But you will need to make a deck save depending on how much damage I do. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. I rolled 15 points of damage. And you lose your grip. So make me a deck save to try to grab hold of something
fuck, that's eight.
Eight doesn't do it.
Luck.
Okay. Roll again.
Fucking forgot he had luck.
That's a 25.
Oh my god.
Natural 20. You like start to fall and you just grab a hold of a little piece of rock that's sticking out just perfectly for you to grab on, and you hold yourself strong, but you do have a bad burn on your back from where the fireball hit.
Motherfuckers.
All right. That's that one's turn. This imp, you hear the mage call out again to the imp in a language you don't understand and flies over here. And also, he only can do one fireball. Not two, so I'm guessing a eight does not hit.
Nope.
Okay, yeah. So fireball comes and just explodes right next to your face, and you feel the heat from the fireball, but take no damage or don't have to make another dexterity saving throw. Gris, you see a scamp coming up, and he's gonna attack you with disadvantage. That's good because you rolled a natural 20. Does a 15 hit? I don't think it does. Okay. Yeah, so he slashes, and you just parry with your shield easy enough. You've fought in these creatures before. Another one comes up to attack the guard right next to you with disadvantage from your shield. That's a 17 for the first attack. That's an 8. And then he gets a 8 and a 2 for both his attacks. So, yeah, that guard does practically the same thing. Just holds his shield up and kind of bashes him away during the scamps, like mid-attack. The Dremora are kind of staying back with the other Dremora that's in black robes, but this flame etronaut, again, the one in black robes, yells something out in a really harsh voice that you guys don't understand, and the flame etronaut starts to float over this way and can make there. And then this imp kind of moves up over here to the right and shoots a fireball at you, Gris. Does a 15? No, 15s don't hit you. So a fireball comes and hits the guy next to you, jumps in front of you, puts up his shield, and the flames just explode all over his shield, and the fireball does not do any damage. And that is the bad guy's turn.
Can I still use my turn, or it's
no, because
take it up?
A dodge takes your action.
Okay, I was just trying to clarify that because I forgot that.
That's quite all right. That's what I'm here for. Reed.
Yeah.
It's your turn. You're climbing up this giant tower. It's like 200 feet tall.
Yeah. How high is the roof behind me?
Probably about 40.
Okay. How far is it away from
me? Oh, like away from you?
No.
Like 30 to 40 feet. Like there's like a street in between where the gate is and the building. So.
You're kind of on the silver plate up there.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, just do it.
No Assassin's Creed jump to the roof, please.
Do it.
Gonna
do
break
it.
Break
it's
everything.
40
bone.
Fucking feet away.
Just, hey, it's okay. Just put your feet against the wall and just push off. just push off.
Use
let
your
the
momentum.
Dice
your momentum.
Wait, is there
gravity? To
maybe
go
there's
down
a
angle.
Maybe there's a cart of hay next to it. Maybe you can jump down there safely.
Funny enough, there is a cart of hay about 15 God. Feet away from you.
Yeah, I'm not jumping into that.
How convenient. Please.
I have seen what it's supposed to do if you jump into a cart of hay.
You're no fun.
It's a cart I'm of not rocks covered in a thin layer
in the
of
first
hay.
10 minutes, we have a session.
No fun.
How far is that flame astronaut from me?
It's probably like 10 feet away from you. But still 30 feet down, 30 obviously. Feet down. Yeah. So, you know.
So, hear me out.
Okay. I'm listening.
How much damage would I take if I softened the fall by landing on a flame astronaut?
None, because it's on fire and that's going to catch you on fire.
Fuck.
So, on the top of the additional, on the 3d10 that you would take from falling damage, yeah, I would probably add another d8 for fire damage, yeah, if you landed on top of it.
Not a good idea then.
But that sounds pretty fun, so I think you should do it.
No!
Okay. Can we vote and
see? Do it.
Hey, I'm just here for suggestions.
No. I'll just crawl on the other side and hide.
Okay. Make me an athletics, or we'll make this one acrobatics since you're already up there, just to make sure you don't slip 15. And fall. Yeah, 15 does it. This thing's pretty jagged that you're crawling on.
And that's
so
27 again.
I'm going to give you disadvantage because there's people actively looking
still
at you.
19.
Okay, yeah. You like find a part that like there's a shadow, the shadow, and you just disappear into the shadow. All right.
And that's my turn.
Okay. It is the guard's turn. We'll start off with the front line. There's one next to you on your left that's going to attack. He misses. The one on your right is going to attack. He hits for... What's a pole arm? 1d8? D6? D10. It's a D10, I think.
Let me look it up.
A halberd's D6.
Halberd's
no,
D6.
A halberd's D10. A halberd is a D10.
Yeah. 1d10 slashing damage.
Sweet. That's what I thought it was. So, oh, nice. Did some good damage. Does 13 damage. All right. That one. The one in front of him's looking pretty badly wounded. And then the guy to your right, Gris, is going to attack the one in front of you. Actual 20. Oh my God. That one's dead. The one in front of you falls. You see the guy next to you take his pole arm and the scamp is like screeching at you, and then all of a sudden there's a pole arm going in his mouth and out the back of his head. And he just and then he rips the pole arm out and he just falls over.
Does he say one liner?
No, he doesn't. Is there no, I was trying to think of one, but nope.
Chew on that. That's a good one.
The imp that is the floating creature that is kind of off to the right of the scamp that just died is going to launch a fireball at the guard that just killed the scamp.
It's not their turn.
Yes, it is.
It's the guard's turn.
Oh, shit. That's right. Thank you for that. The rest of the guards up front are going to hold their actions, and then the mages are going to launch a volley at the three Dremora that are standing like right outside the gate. Collectively, that would be, we'll say a quarter of the spells hit. You see again another volley of like frost and lightning spells just like go over you. Gris, you especially, you kind of like hear it coming and you look up. And it's like got the sound of artillery, not the firing, but as shells move through the air, you hear that. They kind of have the same, but it's more of like a magical mist sound, I guess, like a crackling sound instead of a whistling sound. How about that? Crackling instead of whistling.
Sort of like fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. Think of that. And, then you just see giant explosions go all around the three Dremora in the back. And I think that's it for the guards. Gris, it is your turn. What do you?
I would like to cut down the scamp in front of the guy in front to the left of me.
Roll an attack roll on that motherfucker.
But 21.
21's gonna hit.
That's a 7.
7, and I'm pretty sure, yep, you killed the shit out of that one. No, I had 3 hit points left. How do you want to kill him? Any special move?
I would like to cut him in half.
Cut him in half. You get like, I'll say since it's not a natural 20, you like, you come straight down with your sword. And it like goes through the head, goes through the neck, goes through the chest, and then like stops like right in the middle of the chest. And you just kind of slide out and it just kind of splits open and like teeter tots back and forth and then falls it on its what? Back. Teeter tots.
What is that?
So on like a kid's playground, there's like a piece of wood. And then in the middle of that wood, there's like an point that it rests on, and then somebody sits on each side and it just kind of bounces that, back and forth.
Yeah.
Teeter totter. That's what we call it. I don't know what Germans call it.
In Germany it's a Wippe.
Wippe. It is a Wippe. Wippe. Everybody in the stream, if you're not German, now you've learned a new German word.
In English, it is called a seesaw.
Yeah, that was the one.
A seesaw?
Teeter totter, yeah, seesaw. Yeah.
Teeter totter. Never heard of it.
I've heard the teeter totter, I heard the seesaw. Danish is also Vibib.
Well,
what's it in Danish?
What is it?
Vibib?
Vibib. Vibib.
No.
Vibib?
No. Not bi. Not
no
bi.
Bees. No bees.
The.
Vivid. Vivid?
Vipper.
Vipper.
Just like in German.
Vipper.
Yes.
Vipper.
You guys in Europe are the same. You just move vowels around.
No.
I mean, we are neighbors pretty much.
They have Bratwurst as their sausage.
What's Chris going to do?
Is that your turn?
I would like to slot back into line with my shield up ready.
Got it. Felvinder.
I'll do what I did last time and bring some lightning down.
Bring some lightning down. Hey, that's Nasala's line.
Yeah. But no. 24 hit?
Yes, 24 hits.
Oh, but I need to roll the 100.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 54 is good. So yeah, you conjure up lightning again, you feel that it's going to work, and you throw a lightning bolt up into the sky again, and you were aiming for the mage again?
Yes, the mage again, and the Dremora take 16 yep. lightning damage. The Dremora caster takes 14.
They're still standing. So your lightning bolt hits the mage kind of, you can't see it from where you're at. Actually, nobody would see this, but for the sake of the listeners, the mage... Or the Dremora in the black robes that is a mage, he kind of stumbles a bit and puts his staff on the ground and steadies himself. The two Dremora in front of him seem to be still pretty fine, pretty resilient guys they are, if you could consider them guys. Felvindar, is that your turn?
Yes.
Bonus action left or movement?
There are not many spells in... EDDS with bonus actions as casting times.
No, no, there's not.
No, that's it.
All right. That's it. It is a bad guy's turn. We'll start off with the Flame Atronaut. They're going to try to find you, Reed. They don't.
Hey.
So they're, the imp is also going to try as well. Yeah, no way. So they're like over here searching for you. There's an imp and a flame astronaut that is over to the right of the gate searching for Reed, who is currently on the side of the gate. The other flame astronaut and imp are going to move next to each other and just throw fireballs at the front line, which the flame astronaut is going to target you, Gris. The first one is a 13, so that misses. What about a 17? Does that hit? I'm guessing matches. You said misses matches? Okay, it goes to you, so you're fine. So two fireballs, one you see, you know it's going to go way over your head, and it does, and it just hits against a building behind you. But the second one that comes, comes and hits you, but you like, you couldn't get your shield up in time, but you lowered your shoulder, and you can feel the heat and the intensity of the fireball as it explodes against your shoulder, but it doesn't do any damage to you. Your armor took all of the blunt. And then the imp is going to throw a fireball at the guy next to you on your right and actually hits him.
Disadvantage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Still hit.
Oh.
But only did 5 damage. So a fireball A smaller fireball than the one that the Flame Atronaut shot off hits and burns the beard of the guy next to you. Yeah. Yeah, he's really like the guy next to him and you both go turn to him, go,
oh my God.
The Dremora with the black robes on starts to cast a spell. And this giant fireball, like he like is doing something with his staff that is like making a circular motion and doing something with his hand. And it's almost like Goku with the spirit bomb above his head, but it's a fireball. It's not as big. And then he throws it at the front line. I rolled a natural one. So he throws this big ass fireball, but angles it a little too low, not realizing the massive size of this fireball, and it actually hits the back of the heads of the Dremora that are standing right in front of him and explodes, and all three of them take 4d8 of damage. Oh my God. Well, the mage just killed himself.
What the fuck?
And the Dremora look pretty wounded. And they actually start to retreat back into the gate.
Oh, my God.
And disappear.
Motherfucker.
Wait, yeah. Wait. Can I have permission to say one-liner?
Sure.
Looks like he was too hot for them.
All right, Reed, it is your turn.
Well, first of all, I'd like to go down on the ground again. Behind the
ball. Okay. Easy enough to do. It's going to take your full movement speed.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
And I'm just going to stay there. Still hit, I'm guessing.
Okay. Easy enough to do.
Yeah.
And that's I'm going to make you roll another stealth check because you moved and they are actively looking for you. Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to have a disadvantage on it or not?
You are good.
Okay.
It's the guard's turn and they're just gonna hold their actions, and the mages are kind of standing down now since there's not really actually No, they're gonna target the imp and flame astronaut that's searching for Reed.
Thank God somebody's trying to save me.
Roll a natural one again.
Oh no.
Reed, you're going to have to make a dexterity saving throw.
Please succeed, and I'll take no damage.
Wait.
That's a 22, yeah. And I take no damage.
You succeed. The mages, since they can't really see where they're shooting at this point, they angle their spells too high. And all of a sudden, you look up in the air because you start to hear that crackling sound, and you see like 20 different spells coming right above your head. And you're just like hopping on 1 foot left to right, like dodging spells. You're like, oh God. And there's just explosions going off right, left, all around you.
But
you just are just dancing around all the explosions, like, oh God, oh fuck, oh. Like you like have to tuck in your tail for one. And you like grab your tail and tuck it in real fast.
Not my tail. This is why I have my ring on.
Yeah, and you successfully dodge out of all the spells.
Thank God.
Chris, it's your turn.
I'm going to charge the imp and the
flame astronaut.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
So I'm going to basically bomb forward because they're ranged and we're not. So we're just going to keep taking hits. So I'm just going to bomb forward and then I'm going to take a slice at the astronaut.
Okay.
Okay.
That does not hit.
Then I would like to do another one. Can I do these? Yeah, and then I'd like to do another one. So now I'm in between them.
Okay.
And then with the other swing, I'd like to go for the imp.
Okay.
12.
No, you missed both of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
When you swing at the flame at your knot, you like cut through the flame and not like the form that you actually have to hit. And then when you try to hit the imp, it just like floats up in the air and dodges out of the way of your blade.
Okay. Then I would like to use action surge.
Okay.
gives me another attack.
Okay.
Yes.
And I another, would like...
Another well, action, gives, actually. Yeah, you don't need to use it to attack.
Oh, then I would do the dodge action.
That's possible.
No, because you've already used both. Surge... Action surge gives him is for, I thought, only mute, like, attack.
Give me a sec.
Yeah,
on your turn, you can take one additional action on top of your regular action.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be an attack.
You can choose how to spend that action.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It doesn't have to be That's an attack
fine. Action. Dodge action it is.
Dodge okay. it is.
Good move. All right, Felvindart, it is your turn.
You know, there is this dead mage in front of there just lying about.
Oh, you dare!
I want to try to reanimate him.
Ugh. Okay.
With Revenant. 1d100. Let's see if that works. No, it doesn't. God damn it.
Yeah, you start to conjure up your magic to resurrect the dead Dremora mage. And like a burning out light bulb, you see your toxic green magic, and it starts to emanate in your hands, and then just flicker, and then just disappear.
Fuck, not again!
And your spell doesn't work.
Just saying, that's probably that's a my good turn. Idea because I don't think the others would take too good on necromancy.
Well, they have bigger problems.
They probably just think that he comes back to life and starts attacking them.
Is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
All right. It's the bad guy's turn. Flame, Atronaut, and Imp are going to still be actively looking
Go
for you,
away. Reed. Go away.
They still can't find you.
Thank God.
The Flame, Atronaut, and Imp in front of Gris are both going to attack you. First one's an 18.
With disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Why? Oh, dodge yeah. 19 or 18.
I got 17, so that hits.
Okay, that's gonna hit. The imp's gonna attack. No. So you take oh my god, I rolled double damage. Not double damage, max damage. You take 12 slashing points of damage.
Ow.
That's nothing. I took 15.
The flame Atronaut rakes you across the your face with her like flamey claws.
Bitch.
And it burns. Reed.
Yes.
It's your turn.
I like to shoot the flame. Dodge out of cover. Oh, dash out of cover. Shoot the flame Atronaut. Yeah. Shoot the flesh. Oh, not the flesh. The flame Atronaut in the face. Yes.
Yeah. Go for it.
Wait. 15 to hit.
That will not hit.
Motherfucker. And I will dash into the shadow again and use my bonus action to hide.
Okay, roll stealth.
That's an 8 plus 6.
Plus 6, so that's a 15. No, that's a 14.
Yeah, 14.
No, that won't do it.
Motherfuckers.
You shoot the Flame Atronaut right in its face, but the arrow just burns up. And then it just looks at you.
Great!
All right, well, it's the guard's turn. They're going to rush out next to you, Gris, and attack the imp and the flame astronaut. The first one gets an at 20. That imp is dead, taking 23 points of damage. Super dead. The flame astronaut will get attacked by two people. That won't hit. And that won't hit. The two guards next to you both try to stab with their polearms, but the Flame Atronaut kind of dances in between each attack, and they both miss.
Oh.
It is now your turn, Gris.
Slice and dice. Get the blades out. Go on, guns out. 20.
That hits.
It's an 11.
Are you attacking the Flame Atronaut?
Yeah, the other one's dead. That's the only thing in front of me.
Okay. Oh, yeah, duh. Yeah, and that actually does it for the Flame Atronaut as well. You slice right through it and hit like a solid point right in the middle of the chest, and it just kind of explodes outwards. And the Flame Atronaut is dead.
Okay, well, then I would like to run over to that imp. basically okay. straight at the
end. You can do that.
So run over to the imp and use my second attack to run up behind it. Is that an advantage? Because it's searching for...
I'll give you advantage because it's trying to find Reed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely reasonable.
25. Yeah.
Don't even need it, but yeah, you definitely fucking... And you cut that one down. He wasn't looking too great either from the first volley of spells. And you run up and just like... You cut off one of its wings to get it on the ground, and then you like step on it and spin your sword around and just drive your blade right through until you feel concrete, or like the ground, not concrete. And that one is dead. Fuck. Why can't I not? I'll just delete it. Okay.
Nice one.
Felvendar, it's your turn.
Well, I need to move. Somewhat up, and so I have line of sight to the Atronach, and then I will shoot some lightning at him again.
Lightning.
Let me just see if it actually works. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
And the chain lightning. 24 Sweet. Hits, I guess?
Yes. Super hits. 12.
12.
Have you just found every anime that used lightning?
No. Awesome.
Why, just because anime does it the best. So yeah, you conjure up another lightning bolt and kind of arc it up in the sky and then send one flying across the sky again. Gris, you hear a crackling sound coming over your head and then strike with the sound of thunder. The flame Atronach takes 12 lightning damage. All right. It is the flame Atronach's turn.
Sorry,
and it's going to kind of like turn around as it just got hit with a lightning bolt and then send two firebolts at you, Gris.
Oh
no, that's not what I wanted.
19.
That hits.
And the second one's a 3. So you take only 6 points as a fireball hits you square into your chest. Again, your armor takes most of it, but it does kind of burn your skin a little bit from heating up.
Yup.
Okay, Reed, it's your turn.
Well, I will doesn't fucking do anything. Any good shooting that motherfucker anyway. Run up to it and just stab it with my dagger then.
Stab, stab.
Well, I can only do one stab.
Okay.
That's 24 to hit.
Offhand attack. Okay. What? 24? Yeah, that hits.
And that's like... only 7.
Damage. Only 7.
Only 7.
What's its health at? Nope, it's still up. You went and you like sink it into like where you think its ribs are, but you don't really feel it. You like know you did something, but it doesn't feel like you just stabbed something and you just like pull it out. And you're like, I think that worked. Is that all you're doing? Bonus action you still got?
Yes. And let's take the disengage action and just run back where we came from.
So yeah, you turn, tuck your tail and tactical retreat, we'll call it. Not a cowardly one.
We would never call it that.
All right. well, that is the end of Reed's turn. It's the guard's turn, and they just... I mean, there's one against like a whole army. The flame Atronach gets surrounded and they just all take turns stabbing it to death.
Oh, thank God.
And battle's over. That flame Atronach is definitely dead.
Ow. Ow.
Good job.
Ow. 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 A bird.
You all right?
No.
Let me come get to you. Where are you?
Wait. Just come out of bed.
Oh, there you are. Let me have a look at you. Here, take this, and I want to lay my hands on him to heal him. It does help. Your other...
Hey.
Lay my hands on you, they glow in a like summer greenish light, and you feel better for 11 hit points.
Good.
Healing.
Thank you. Well, shall we?
I would like to find a healer before we head through. I took quite a bit of damage there.
Wait, weren't we also getting the hunter to help us in there?
I don't remember if they were coming through or not. I can't remember.
Yeah, let's quickly speak with the captain so he secures the area and maybe patches us up before we go into the gate.
Already you see like guards are already like, you know, kind of securing the area.
The captain among them, I guess.
Yeah, he's kind of like right where like Gris was on the front line. He's kind of standing right over there by the palisades talking to like his like sergeants and lieutenants, like giving them orders.
I'd like to approach him then.
Okay. And he just finishes up talking to his sergeant. He says, yes, get the front line secured once again and get ready for another attack. Any wounded, let's get them back to the healers. And then the sergeant says, yes, sir, and hurries off. Thank you for you guys' help. I appreciate it. Are you guys going to make your way into the gate now?
Yeah, just my friends are a bit, got some bruises and cuts. We could get some, not myself, but my friends could get some healing before we go in, so we're in the best shape possible.
Yeah, of course, the healing tent is any points behind him. You guys know where it's at. You walked in and saw it. It was one of the first things you saw.
Yeah.
That's where all the healers are.
So we try to, when we get in there, to be as fast as possible, although I cannot expect how long it will take.
Well, there's a long way to the tower, and I can tell you that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we will not be back before the next wave to support you here. So just hold your position or retreat. We will come back if we can help it.
Captain.
Yes.
Is this the first time they've been running back into the portal?
I've seen it a couple times before. It's not often.
Okay.
Seems like if we take out those guys wearing black robes, they seem to be like the battle commanders.
Oh,
they did it themselves. Well,
yeah, I saw he kind of killed himself. That was pretty funny, stupid Daedra. Yeah. But yeah,
that
typically
they are not immortal and they can like
no, oh no,
they can still fail really hard.
Yeah, I mean we have plenty of bodies we've burnt. They definitely do die. But yeah, it seems like if the one wearing black robes is taken out quickly, it seems like they lose their organization. Like, not organization, their organization.
Good to know.
Didn't you say that word twice now?
I think I did.
That's what confused me. I was like,
I was like, not the organization, not organization, but the organization.
The organization.
How organized they are. Let's say that.
Yeah, that's a good tip. We'll definitely have a keep an eye on that while we're in there.
Yes.
If
yes.
We're not back in 2 days, well, the world is going to die.
That's
unless
I hope
you
that
send
is
other,
not the case that happens.
Unless you send other people in, of course.
No, you shouldn't send no one after us. Either
well,
we...
Just saying, if we don't come back in 2 days, they might as well try before just laying down and dying.
You said there's a tower?
Yes.
Because if you guys do die, do you know how to close the gate? Because if you do, I need that information in case you do, because we will be sending in an army to close the gate.
Some of the mages know how to do it.
Phil Vananos.
You need to get to the fortress or... something like that. It looks different on every plane of Oblivion, but it usually is a big tower. You need to make your way in there and reach the main chamber on the top of it. There's an altar with a sigil stone on it. You just need to grab the stone, remove it, and then the gate closes and you're back on the exit.
I think there'd be a little harder than that, but I imagine it's probably pretty hard to get to that stone.
Yeah, sure. The stone to remove the stone is not the problem, but to get there exactly.
I got you.
But well, that's the general procedure, as I've learned.
That is good to know. Good information. If you guys are not back in 2 days' time, we will be advancing into the gate because somebody's going to have to close this if it's not you guys. So,
would my character know if time? Flows differently in Oblivion.
Actually, give me a history check from the book you read from the mage.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
15?
15. You remember reading that it's not known if the time in Oblivion, in the Oblivion realm, is the same as the mortal realm.
All right. So, yeah, we will make as fast as we can. So, Gris, Reed, go see the healers. I'll keep an eye on the gate.
And we'll go to the healer for 4 hit points.
Yeah. And
I go for 28.
Yeah, so you guys get 18. Healed up. Get all healed up. Felvindar, when they're getting healed, the hunter, Saparo, a snow elf, female, what? And Vila all start walking, like approach you.
Snow elf?
Hello, can I help you?
Oh yeah, he doesn't know who they are.
Do you?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, you oh, lost no. your memory. Felvindar, you
go with
know,
it.
Yeah. You know me, I'm Vila. This is, you know,
I do.
The Glendar, Mr. Glendar here, which she wouldn't say Mr. Glendar. She would just say Glendar. You know, the hunter, I don't know if that rings a bell. You saved his life. You saved his life.
Just for your information, as of recently, I'm suffering from amnesia.
Yeah, we heard.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry about
I'm
that.
Sure that's all right. I know a way how to get it back, and I'm sure I believe you. We've met, and so it's good to see you. Do you know what we're about to do?
We're gonna all accompany you into the gate, and
appreciate
you
that.
Like take a glance at the female snow elf that's with them, and she is like, think of like an elven warrior haircut. It's kind of like got an undercut and then like braids on top into a ponytail, and then she's got war makeup that's like coming down her eyes, and she just looks like she's got a bad attitude.
Well, it's good to have you with us in that situation. I know exactly where we need to go. Just getting there is the problem.
And she speaks up. Yes, I imagine it's probably going to be quite a battle.
Yeah, multiple levels on our way top the tower, Dremora guarding everything. But once we get to the antechamber, shouldn't be a problem.
Well,
just someone needs to remove the sigil stone and we all get back safely.
Yes, we are going to have to more than likely fight Athazar, which is not going to be easy. You probably don't remember who that is, but
Athazar.
The Nesala, who you also probably don't remember, she's been a snow elf that's been traveling with you guys, and she's the one we're going to rescue, her and her brothers, and her uncle is more than likely in there.
Well, that's not Arthas.
Athazar.
Athazar, thank you.
That is who Athazar is, yes. Nesala's
yeah. Uncle.
And very powerful magic user.
We've seen someone kidnapping her and dragging her through a portal.
Yeah, that
that
was
might well be him.
Probably. Yeah, so that guy. And then he's got, from what your other people, you know, from what you guys have told us from your travel, there's some sort of an assassin or something else that is like right hand man. So I'm sure we'll have to deal with him too.
And you've heard about onto some kind of ritual to summon an ancient powerful beast. It was what was it called? Margaret or something?
It was called, Morrigan.
Oh yeah, sorry, Margaret? My memory still keeps having some issues.
The ancient dangerous beast, Margaret.
That was the
destroyer of universes and time itself.
Margaret.
Yeah.
Margaret.
And I was like, oh yeah, my memory is still bad. What was it? Margaret? Morrigan?
I can't remember. Last week said fucking Margaret because I didn't know how to say Morrigan.
Margaret.
Margaret?
Fucking Margaret. Oh my God. That would be such a funny thing.
So, good to have you with us. Stay with me here. When Reed and Gris get back, we're ready to go in.
And shortly after, you guys walk up and you see the group. And again, this snow elf female that you guys have never seen before.
Who's the snow elf?
I'm Tamilia. Who the fuck are you?
Big Goatsim.
Chris.
She like eyes you up and down in like a disapproving
we're manner. We're friends in this. We all need each other. Mm. And we need all the strength we can get to get out of there alive. So if you're all ready, I suggest we head in.
Yeah, we've wasted enough time. And she actually, Tamilia starts to walk towards the gate before anybody else. And she's got this long, intricate, like white wood staff that's got these two long curved blades at the end.
Ooh.
And like at each end where the blade starts, there's tiny like string tied with like beads and stuff hanging off of it. And then like right in the middle of the white wood is like a really nice engraved, like carved handle for her to spin. And it's slight, it gives off a slight, like every now and then you can see like a little bit of electricity like come out of it and then go back into it.
So going all Darth Maul. Yeah.
What you're saying is it's an expensive piece of
weaponry. It's Snow Elf. Yeah. And she's wearing the exact same armor that Nasala has, but a little more like Nasala would be wearing light armor. She's wearing medium armor, but it's the same like pearl armor.
Same craftsmanship.
Nasala. Yeah.
Gris would like to make a perception check, basically to see how powerful she actually is.
Okay.
I guess we need to see it firsthand.
Yeah.
What's her problem?
She looks tough, that's for sure.
Yeah, she looks really fucking tough.
Gris is like...
She looks like a warrior.
Yeah, Gris like can she's see
got,
this.
Yeah, she's got piercings and gauges in her ears. Like, and then like the black, like it looks like she was crying black tears, but it's war paint. And she just looks like she's got a bad at it. Like somebody you probably shouldn't fuck with.
Chris is watching her walk and he turns around to who's closest behind me, Phil Vidal Reed.
I would say you are all, you probably are like all right next to each other.
Chris turns around and is like, I think I have a thing for snow elves.
Yeah, she has a very warrior-esque walk to her.
Elves and in yeah, general
she,
are.
She is, I mean, she's pretty fucking, she's that like radical sexy.
I just look at to the hunters like, what the fuck is her problem?
She's actually one of the brothers' lovers. She's just really concerned.
Oh, now I'm disappointed.
She's just really worried about them. So don't mind her. She's a great person. She's just really worried.
Yeah. I appreciate her sword arm.
Yeah, she. We sent word to her as soon as you guys sent word to us, and she was able to. She was actually already in the area because she's been searching for them too. So,
any idea how much Girl Armor goes for these days?
Wait, say that again.
Any idea how much Girl Armor goes for these days?
I'm not sure. All I know is that is like really, really good armor. From the times that we spent working for her father, Nasala's father, that armor is only given to certain people.
So,
what's the hair color, by the way?
It's like a white.
Oh, I have the perfect
it's
image
like a
for
salt
that.
I actually have an image for her.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. If you tell the same you. Image, I'm going to lose my shit.
So, you should see... like if you guys go over what? To
oh okay I'll put you on the same image
like, if you guys go over to
I see it
like
now
your
yeah.
character sheet so you can pull up her character
well,
sheet
it pops up when you show everybody.
Yeah and that's kind of her same. With her hair down but she has it up in braids and has like a slight undercut so it's like shaved from like not halfway up her head but like a quarter way up her head down.
Yeah,
and then your ears have like a bunch of piercings and gauges in them, and have like these like feathers hanging down, like these earrings that have like feathers hanging down, and yeah, she's she.
Yeah, I would have lost it.
Sparks, but you guys don't know that yet.
I would have lost it if we chose the same picture.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just saying, Chris might have a chance if the brother is there already.
Potentially.
Chris was not 100% thinking that.
Of course he was.
Well, that's something that could be arranged, couldn't it, Reed?
Sure.
Anyway.
Enough talking.
Let's proceed.
Let's go die. I mean, let's go close this game.
Okay. So it's like a fucking Avengers shot right now. The camera is panning. It's the camera's behind all of you. You, the hunter, Vila, Saparo, Tamelia, Reed, Felvendar, and Gris, you are all walking in a line up to the Oblivion Gate, and the camera is behind you guys, and you get to the gate like 15 feet out in front of it, and you all stop, and the camera pans around to your faces, and you all have the look of determination on your face. Everybody holds their breath and takes a step in, and the camera fades to black.
Is this the moment I'm going to ruin just saying I've already been in there?
I don't know. But do my players always fucking ruin my outro? Yes, they do. Will always. They stop doing it? I don't
never.
Know. But
never.
Let's find out next time on the next episode of DDS.